Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is Nuggets of Gold, Finding the Upside in a Distressed New Acquisition. I have joining me in the studio two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kelly Guyton, a multifamily operations consultant with Guyton and Associates, and Priscilla Orta, an experienced multifamily manager or multifamily manager for an independent owner. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Paul, for having us.
Thank you.
Yes. you know, this topic, Nuggets of Gold, Finding the Upside in a Distressed New Acquisition, is something that really has always been important because the volatility of the multifamily market with properties being bought and sold on a regular basis. You know, who knows with the economy the way it is today if that's going to increase, but everything I've heard and people I've spoken with have said, you're going to see a lot of transactions happening. So this information is important, and hopefully our listeners who are tuning in are taking note of this. But I want to start with you, Kelly, and ask you the challenges of operating distressed properties when you have an acquisition. What are some of those challenges?
Gosh, those challenges are myriad. Typically, the reason that a property is able to transact is because it's in distress in some way. It's not performing. It's financially underperforming. We see a lot of out-of-state property owners who are relying on, you know, maybe on-site staff in some cases to run them. And typically they do need more attention than that. And so in any case, I didn't set out to sort of be an acquisitions specialist, but just the way the world works, I have become sort of very experienced. Priscilla and I have actually completed, I would say, 5 acquisitions in the last few years together.
Yes.
And they're typically, have we walked into a property where it was just humming right along?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. And typically we work with, often we work with first time buyers, but in some cases we've helped first time buyers and then we go away, which is the goal. You know, they bring us in as consultants. We set up the operation for them and then we typically go away. But what happens is, you know, later we get called back in to sort of evaluate the operation and see if there's anything that we can maximize. But, you know, to answer your original question, when you first take over an asset, typically it's the facility itself is distressed. It may have, you know, roof leaks throughout or work orders that haven't been, service requests, you know, that haven't been addressed. And what do we hear, Priscilla? No one's ever taking care of my stuff. So everyone's angry, typically, right, at that point. And I would say that's another challenge, is that everyone you're dealing with does not trust you. They have no reason to. That's fine.
That's true. They also see it as an opportunity to, whenever they see new owners or new ownership, they take it as a new opportunity to try to get some of their issues taken care of. Mm-hmm. Finally.
Right.
That's another big deal that I've seen.
So the physical asset itself is distressed. Typically, sometimes the city is all over the property, you know, with life safety issues. You may have large vacancy that's just a bleeding sort of thing that we need to address. And I call it stopping a train. the train, this property, if you can envision it as a train and it's going in its direction, and then we step in, and not only do we need to stop the train, it does not immediately stop. We have to stop the direction that it's going in. And then we, and I typically say that takes 90 days. A lot of owners don't like that, but then it, that's the reality though. 90 days just through cleaning out the bad guys, as you've said, maybe non-payers or maybe lease violators who are just creating a really undesirable place for their neighbors to live. And so, you know, it takes some time to stop the train, and then to actually get it moving in the correct direction, it takes a train a while, you know, to get momentum. So that's how I refer to it. I usually say that it takes 6 months to 12 months to totally stabilize a distressed asset with full focus and resources, meaning dollars, right. You know, invested into the property. And I think that one of the talking points that I wanted to mention today is that the management representative and the owner will need to be on the same page with what the tolerance is for stopping the train. You know, do we want to go in full force, guns blazing, and anyone who owes us money, for example, we're going to go ahead and serve them a notice, or maybe they're not under a current lease and we want to do interior renovations, so we're going to go ahead and vacate the units that we can. But sometimes what I see is that the property owner in theory wanted that. However, their tolerance for vacancy may not align with sort of just that statement. Let's clean it out and fill it back up. That costs a lot of money, right? A standard turn is about $3,000.
Right.
So, you know, forget interior upgrades. So I would say it's a facility component. It's the operational component, which includes deciding, you know, whether we're going to vacate the entire property or not, what we're doing with the current tenants. And those are the couple of components that I would say we walk into. And Priscilla's been really great at walking into these kinds of situations and just talking to everyone and sort of being the face of the new owners. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I agree. I like to speak to a lot of the residents personally, one-on-one, see what they're going through, what their situation is, see how I can help them, and then see what we would do with the good residents and also the ones that we have been having issues with, or, you know, mm-hmm. what they've reported or ownership, you know, basically complaints or anything. I like to talk to everyone to see where we are at and what we're going to do for them, and then take it from there.
Right.
We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I want to ask a question because, you know, I've seen a lot of properties that have been taken over, you know, through the years in the business. And I've seen in some cases they go in and do exactly what you're talking about and make those changes, make the upgrades that they want to make. But in some cases, you got a property that's so distressed and is has been just torn apart reputation-wise that someone has to make that decision. Do we give this property a brand new identity? And that's where you'll see, you know, a property that one day was called, you know, Withering Oaks. The next day, they've changed the name to something completely different. To try and, I think, get away from that. Is that what you see? And when do you make those types of decisions? And as far as you have to look at the online reviews and, you know, where you stand. Is there something that's salvageable or not?
Typically, yes. Mm-hmm. I did have one asset that was sort of the most challenging yes. acquisition that we've ever encountered. And it was... That was the reason that there was opportunity. And finding those nuggets of gold, I'll give an example. They had 100 kids or something on this site. Mm-hmm. I think it was a 380-unit deal. Anyway, there were just tons of kids. They were destroying the property because they had nothing to do. And so we realized, okay, well, this nugget of gold is that we need to corral the kids, make them love it here, and we feel that their parents will want to just renew their lease and stay. And so that's what we focused on initially. Yes, rebranding, absolutely. That should be decided prior to takeover. We need to have a plan. And I like to make a splash. I call it a great big splash the first day. Even if you don't have your monument sign ready, you can put a banner over the existing sign just to let the neighborhood, let everyone know, you know, ownership has changed, things are changing. And also, any kind of capital projects that you can get started with. Sometimes banks are in the mix and we have a draw process and things like that. But anything you can do, and that banner would suffice if that's all we can do today to let people know we're here and we're making changes. And we need the resident, the current residents, to see that there are positive changes coming. So I like to make those splashes on day one.
So do I.
In the case of all the kids, though, we focused on creating some kind of activities and corralling and trying to direct their little bad attention of destroying the property into now an after-school program. And I'd love to talk more about that after the break, because Priscilla was very instrumental in that program.
We'll get back right on that right after the break. We're going to have to stop it here, though, for this segment. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is especially important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Nuggets of Gold, Finding the Upside in a Distressed New Acquisition. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kelly Guyton, a multifamily operations consultant with Guyton & Associates, and Priscilla Orta, an experienced multi-site manager for an independent owner. Before we go back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Kelly, we were talking right before the break about an instance where on a takeover, you realized that you had a large group of 100 or so kids that were not doing great things for the property. And so you wanted to redirect their energy to make it more of a positive situation. What did you do?
Priscilla, I'm going to let you take this one because you're a mom, first of all. And I know that we really listen to our staff who are on site and listen to their ideas. And you took this one and ran with it. So,
yeah. So when we arrived at that property, there were so many children
unsupervised.
Unsupervised, roaming free. I found a few toddlers in the street. Yeah, it was. There was no outlet for these children. There was nothing to do.
No pools,
no parks, nothing. So they were just left to their own imagination and have fun.
You'd be amazed what they can come up with, sort of the outdoor faucets, the AC units, the cable boxes, the, you know, patio fencing. I mean, anything that they could entertain themselves with.
So then after a few days of that, I started researching on what we could do for these children to give them something, an outlet, or, you know, to show them that we care for them and we want them to have fun where they live, but to also be safe. So I did partner up with a local, it was called Urban Outreach. So it was very... They were very good with children, helping them, providing books, helping them with homework. So, and it was very, it didn't cost much to the owner.
Right. So let me just add, we had no budget. The facility itself was in such bad shape. We knew that we had to address life safety. We had just innumerable projects that we had budgeted for and we were ready to tackle, but we didn't have anything. I think we did have some plans, but they would be at the end of the rehab, which was expected to take a year. So we did have some budget constraints, and that's what she's speaking to. We said, hey, we need to come up with something, and we have no money. Anyone ever heard that before? So go ahead, Priscilla.
So yeah, so what we had to provide was just a unit for kids to go to after school where they would get a free meal, where they would receive assistance or any kind of assistance that their parents may need for, you know, Medicaid, food stamps, anything that their family might need. They also, it was an after school program, so they could go directly after school and stay there for a few hours and, you know, eat dinner and then go home and have, you know, everything taken care of as far as their schoolwork, and their parents didn't have to worry about where's my kid going after school and I'm at work. So that was a very great program, I feel, in my opinion.
It was to very have, successful.
To provide the families at that property. And that was also a great retention
tool. And marketing tool, for sure. We included it on the tour. And it looked like a true preschool. And the cost to the owner was very soft because we had so much vacancy, you know, that we were working on. We were doing interior and exterior upgrades, but certainly we could spare a vacant unit. And I think the cost was nominal. We bought some supplies, and they provided the meals
they
and sort of everything.
The meals, they provided books. They provided, you know, school supplies, sometimes even home supplies, toilet paper, anything a child may need. It was all donated, so they would all just bring it in, or whenever the organizers would show up, they would bring what they could as well, just to help, because there was a need at that property for a lot of these families.
And so it did. It brought that under control, and we were able to sort of focus on the business at hand, which was renovating the property itself, and also, you know, dealing with all the less fun stuff. But at least we didn't have the unsupervised children in a construction zone. Mm-hmm. By the way, it was also a liability for us.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win all the way around. I mean, you have a situation where you've got the unsupervised kids who are, you know, probably, whether it's conscious or subconscious, are vandalizing the property, you know, by, as you said, knocking on things with sticks and whatever. An unsafe situation when you're trying to get work done at the property. They're unsupervised, their parents are at work or whatever it might be. So you bring in this group to help you. It didn't cost a lot. You had the soft cost of the unit. And, you know, the kids, I'm sure, loved it, right?
They did. It made them very happy.
And what did the parents, what kind of comments did you get from the parents?
They were very grateful. Mm-hmm. They were very grateful to finally have something like that where they live.
Right.
And it didn't cost them anything. There wasn't any pressure or another bill. and their kids were safe. They were getting fed. They were getting help with school. And it was a very amazing thing to see and to experience, you know, making their lives easier.
And isn't that, we all win, yeah. Right? Because the families want to stay. Oh, there's no way I could move my, you know, they love it here. And, you know, I don't have after school care and things like that. But, you know, also simultaneously, we were, don't come at me, multifamily professionals, because we were addressing the unsupervised children, whether they partook in that program or not. We did have to deal with, you know, the kids being out in the street. And I think it was, it was a major street in Houston. It wasn't a side street. So anyway, we dealt with that as well while this was going on, but that was sort of the face of what was happening. It was really successful.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, you know, we mentioned a few times during the course of the first segment and this segment, rehab. And, you know, that's typically something when you take over a distressed property that you're going to deal with some type of a rehab. Obviously, you want to push rents and have the opportunity to increase the NOI at a property. So you want to upgrade where you can, what the budget allows. But you have to come up with that scope. How do you do that when you're looking at a property? And we've got about 3 minutes left. We can continue over in the next segment if we need to.
Well, you know, we really work with the owner to determine that scope, and we rely on our partners. I will throw in a plug for TPI Construction here because we've partnered with them for many years. I'm working with them, full disclosure, on a new business development project. But you have to have someone you trust, and you have to make sure that the scope is the same. You want to get your three bids, typically. I always recommend using HAA vendors, obviously, because they're held to a certain standard and they have the credentials. But make sure that all of your subs are insured, and make sure that they all are giving you the same scope. And I really caution against going with, hey, listen, I've used two guys in a truck myself. Mm-hmm. However, when you're taking over your multi-million dollar asset, you need to rely on vendors that are able to warranty their work and actually come back. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was working with an owner who had found two guys in a truck who were doing granite for substantially below market. And so, okay, great. We'll work with that. But these two guys were, I saw them drinking beer and stuff like that in the truck and whatnot. But I just want the granite done. So I'm going to just turn my head, and I didn't hire them. I'm going to just stay in my lane. However, they broke the granite, and with that broke the plumbing underneath it. And we had three flooded units as a result. Now, they wouldn't come back. And I remember the owner was so exasperated that they wouldn't come back to remedy it. And I explained to him there was so little money in that job in the first place for them. And that's why I was scratching my head about it. But they couldn't come back. They couldn't afford to come back. So I'll leave it at that. But make sure your scope is the same. And if you need to cut and paste that scope to allow your other vendors to bid the same thing, I think that's very important. And I would deal with life safety first. Clean and safe. We may not have the budget to make it, you know, an A-class property, but my mantra is always clean and safe. And that's where I start. Safety issues.
We've got about 30 seconds left, so let me just make one clarification of what you said. When you mentioned HAA vendors, since we're located in Houston, Texas, that's the Houston Apartment Association. What I think the message is, use vendors who are supporting your apartment association.
Absolutely.
Wherever you're located. Okay. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages with our next segment. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Nuggets of Gold, Finding the Upside in a Distressed New Acquisition. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kelly Guyton, a multifamily operations consultant with Guyton & Associates, and Priscilla Horta, a experienced multi-site manager for an independent owner. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Kelly, you know, when people think about taking over a distressed property, you know, it's like all of a sudden, here are the keys, you know, go in. That's when you start planning. Wrong. So tell me, how much lead time do you start really digging into getting things arranged for what you need to do?
Yeah, well, the ownership, the partnership has typically identified their asset, their underwriting. We're in due diligence. We're, working with the lender. Right. They're finding insurance. That's a whole other show. Insurance in Houston, Texas. But insurance and, you know, they're sort of doing the bigger picture, the finance piece. Operationally, we would love to have 45 days advance notice of a closing. It never happens, though, does
no.
it? No.
No.
It never happens. So 30 days, though, prior, I always advise the owner taking their, especially their first property, to get their software component in place. That takes time. Love our software providers that we're all familiar with. I've worked with all of them. And I know that sometimes we think, oh, well, the seller is using XYZ, and so we'll use XYZ, and it should just be flipping a switch and no problem. Not the case at all. There are privacy issues. There are licenses that have to be agreed to and transferred. So I have yet to see a software implementation take less than 30 days. So I would say that's a very important component so that you have the most seamless transition, you know, with your rent roll and unit mix and sort of all the basics, the fee schedule, also utilities, especially in the city of Houston, sometimes require a large deposit, and I mean $8,000-$10,000. So that's dependent on the city, and also, you know, whatever credit worthiness the new partnership has established. So I'm always focused on that first day. I want to make sure that the lights are on, the water is on, or ready to go. And I want to make sure that the software program is in place, the credit vendor, in other words, who we're using to run applications is very important. And that is also a very timely thing. It takes time. You don't just call the credit company and say, hi, I'm ABC Apartments, and, you know, I want to start running applications. Obviously, again, privacy laws, they have to bestow upon us the ability to have care and control over people's most private information, right?
Yes.
Their work history, their criminal backgrounds,
you know, credit.
Credit history and things like that. So,
how about staffing?
Staffing, you also want to make those decisions, hopefully at least a couple of weeks prior to, I would ask. I mean, I always try to find out, you know, is the staff even available before we even begin evaluating? Because sometimes they're not. Man, you know, it's so competitive that if you have a fantastic manager, honestly, she's probably been removed already 2 weeks prior, but, and, you know, and we're working with maybe a temp or something like that. Mm. But yeah, we need to identify our staff as far in advance as we can. And hopefully they're with us on the day of takeover. And Priscilla has actually been that person for me, mm-hmm. you know, knowing that we needed someone to go in and just kick butt. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. So Priscilla, why don't you talk about, as far as staffing, why don't you talk about what the day you take over, what your hope is as the on-site manager?
Well, my hope is the same as what you've just explained, that everything's pretty much in place already and ready to go. In the most cases, it's not. So my main focus on the first day is to try to get everything in order and see, and also, you know, meet the staff that's currently there. And, you know, I kind of get a feel on if they're going to be helpful or they're going to, you know, either
be a new problem. Right.
So that's one of the big things for me, is just getting everything, all my ducks in a row, and making sure everything runs smoothly.
And in order to do that, you need your right hand.
My right hand, maintenance staff, leasing, any assistant managers, a current manager that's there. For the most part, I have encountered some helpful staff. So I'm very fortunate to have experienced that. But I do realize, and I do know, that there sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes management, everyone will walk out, and then you're left with.
You know, I would say the worst scenario, honestly, Paul, is where, in my opinion, based on my experience, is when the seller has not informed the on-site staff and there is no plan for them. That's when it becomes messy and tricky. Mm-hmm. If the seller, I recommend to my clients to offer a closing bonus to retain the staff, a retention bonus. Stay with us. It's going to be busy. It's going to be a little chaotic. Stay with us and we're going to compensate you at the end. Take some time off before you make, you know, your decision, or and that's based on the new company maybe having staff coming in with them, or for whatever reason you've just decided you want to make a clean change. And so sellers sometimes do not tell the staff, and then they start seeing strange BMWs roll through the parking lot and people who don't normally come there.
Yeah.
And yes. And they know. They always find out, and they feel very
they do. The residents play a big part in that. They'll see people, you know, scoping out the property, and they'll go run to and tell management, "Hey,
they're taking pictures and
what are you doing?"
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really an unfortunate scenario, because no one wins. Honestly, the seller, his team is now looking for another job, and they don't trust the person that they're working for because they haven't told them the truth. And then the buyer, they don't trust them either because they don't know them and they just don't know what's going on. So that's an unfortunate scenario. And I would encourage everyone to be upfront. They always find out. One of the, this was pretty funny, at a C-class community in Pasadena, Texas, the broker and some potential buyers came out. No one knew yet. We had not told anyone. And one of the residents recognized the broker from the last time that the property had sold. And so he just told everyone, they're selling. We're going to sell. Rents are going up. You know, you really would prefer that it didn't come out that way. So they are little cities. Every yeah. property is its own little city. So, but I'm trying to think other things that we want to have. We obviously want to have the resident history, ledgers and things like that.
Resident history, payment history.
Right.
For the most part.
Payment history and things like that. Mm-hmm. So all of these things take time though. Also, I would have a website with your new branded name in place. Mm-hmm. And we want to automate in, you know, today's world, automate as much as we can, rental payments and service requests.
Service requests, yeah.
And I do want to throw a plug out for 24/7, Apartments 24/7. That's our website provider. And I just, they have got it so down to a science that I recommend them for every new acquisition because all they do is multifamily. Mm-hmm. So they've been very helpful.
And I guess when... and we've got about a minute left in this segment. Just what are some of the things that you don't want to have happen? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, be honest with the people there. But obviously, if you take over a property and nobody, you have no staff there, you don't know where anything is, you know, do the keys work? You know, how do you get into things? I mean, what are some of the things that you really don't want to have happen, you want to try to avoid?
Well, the lights are out. No,
the utilities are out. Well,
the office. We have no idea who's paid and who hasn't.
Yes, who hasn't paid. Sometimes the residents will bombard you with all their issues. And if you're left alone, you won't know how to handle anything. If you don't have a system in place, you won't know how far back their service request has been opened. It can be very nerve-wracking if you're there alone on a property, and it has happened to me, and all these problems are just coming at you. But I try to take everything one thing at a time.
I just told someone yesterday, we're going to eat this elephant one bite at a time. That's all we can do.
All right, we're gonna break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is Nuggets of Gold, Finding the Upside in a Distressed New Acquisition. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Kelly Guyton, a multifamily operations consultant with Guyton & Associates, and Priscilla Horta, an experienced multi-site manager for an independent owner. You know, we talked a little bit about what you're supposed to be doing when you're going to be taking over an acquisition in the 30 days prior. You said hopefully 45, but 30 at minimum. So what happens day of, and let's say the 30 days after?
Yeah, I'm laughing because you asked sort of what was the worst case, you know, scenario on day one. And actually, when I met Priscilla for the first time, I would say that was probably the most difficult takeover that I had experienced, because we had a highly distressed portfolio. This was not a sale. It was an owner, independent owner, who was having really challenges within their portfolio. And so I walk in the door, and I know the manager is going to have to be replaced. And so I walk in the door, and I have to terminate a couple of folks, and then the rest just went ahead and left as well. So it was almost Priscilla and I standing there together. And you were so new to the industry that you really thought maybe this is normal. Maybe this is just how it is in this particular world.
So it was, my first time in multifamily, my first job ever. This was like the third day. I just seen everyone leave. And Kelly comes out of the office, and we just look at each other, and then the rest is history.
And we just started getting to work.
Yeah. Yes.
So the 30 days after, you know, listen, there's a lot going on, and everyone has to work together. My biggest suggestion and recommendation in any... whatever the initiative is, whether it's the rehab, whether it's addressing the tenant profile, whatever it is communication. I want to make sure that the owner is on the same page if he's not on site or she's not on site. I want to make sure that the on-site team knows what the goals are and understands, listen, I know that it's going to be crazy. Listen, the 30 days prior to and the 30 days after are going to be busy. So, you know, try to just... embrace that with the team. You do need a team, but we always want to start with getting a handle on the financial aspect, right?
Yes.
We don't want to dip. And also, like I said, get a handle on what is the tolerance for vacancy. Because typically what happens is you've got a few folks already that need to go, meaning they haven't paid or they're already in the eviction process, or maybe you're starting the eviction process. You've already got a few vacants, just standard turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start moving out as they realize, oh, they're going to actually enforce the lease agreement. They're going to enforce the rules. And we actually let the residents know that with our first communication, which is day of.
Yes.
The letter, this is who we are. It doesn't affect your lease agreement. This is where you pay your rent. This is how you reach us, and this is who we are. And please be patient with us. We're starting a rehab. It's going to be inconvenient, but yay, you won't blow out the struts in your vehicle when you pull into the parking lot anymore. We're going to get to you. And I have found that they're just thrilled to be heard. A lot of folks, no matter the class of property, everyone wants to be heard. And if they feel like they've been ignored for a long time, that carries a lot of weight. And also just be completely transparent about what's about to take place. That may be a little bit inconvenient.
Yeah. But for the most part, they're grateful. They're happy that someone is going to at least try to resolve some of the problems or issues that they've been living with for a while.
And we also tell them, listen, I hear you and I'm going to do what I can, but understand I haven't been here for all of that. So all I can do is start today and move forward. So let's go from here. And typically people are pretty understanding. Also, if someone is frustrated and they feel like you're not hearing them, I always stand up and go walk to their unit with them.
Yes.
And just try to understand what they're saying. A lot of times it's not really as bad as it sounds, you know.
It's not. Sometimes, well, in some cases it might be, but most of the time they just want you, a resident who's been dealing with issues for such a long time, they just want someone to see and acknowledge and, you know, that you're going to help them or try to at least. So, yeah, getting up and walking to someone's unit and just, you know, listening to them is, it's very important. I found it's very important, and it's, it makes them feel a whole lot better about living there. And it also makes them a little more patient with you when you do explain to them, hey, you know, I just got here and I'm going to try to do or try to help you as much as I can, but it will take some time.
Yeah, and let's face it, when you have a resident on a property that's been dealing with the same issues over and over again, that's not an unusual thing on a distressed property, because obviously the owners aren't doing what the old owners aren't doing what they need to do, because they know they're going to put it up for sale, and there's a lot of deferred maintenance you have to take over when you come on board.
Absolutely. And that's why I said, you know, there's a finite number of dollars and we have to address the life safety stuff. I mean, the balconies falling down, that's one of the most common, the staircases, the balconies. And these are not, you know, fun. I mean, this is not a new playground. This is not, you know, a new pool or refurbished pool. I mean, we hope we have those items, but we have to make sure. I had a manager the other day say to me, oh my gosh, she said, I'm looking out my window at this lady who's sweeping on her balcony, and she should not be on her balcony. Mm. And I was horrified, you know? Mm. So I said, okay. And that leads me to on-site folks. I always say, because they sometimes get very frustrated, well, I've told my boss, my supervisor, whoever is above them approving things, I've told them this, I've told them that. And my suggestion is always, listen, that's your job. Your job is to be boots on the ground, eyes and ears on the ground. You need to make recommendations. Always present problems with a solution. Mm-hmm. Listen, I have this staircase that's falling down. I did obtain 3 proposals. Here they are. So always bring a solution with you. Or the owner may say to you, well, yeah, that's part of the rehab. That's what I meant by getting on the same page. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have this staircase falling down. Here are the proposals. And then sometimes they have their own ideas about how they want to tackle something like that. And I always say to the on-site folks, let it go. Listen, you've done your job. Your job is to observe and report. Haha. And then you have to just let it go, because I've seen folks get really frustrated and upset that, you know, I wanted this done, but this was done. And so, you know, you just have to kind of let it go. But establishing those lines of credit with your vendors, let's say HD Supply or however you're going to pay for things, credit applications. I mean, that's all tedious stuff, but very necessary for day one, as mm-hmm. we were talking about. Okay, so we've got the maintenance guy here, and we need to go change locks on all of the vacants. Take control mm-hmm. of your property immediately. And we just saw an instance where the locks were changed at takeover. However, the contractor left the interiors open and appliances were stolen day one.
Oh, my
yes.
Yes, and yes. He doesn't have cameras yet. That would be another thing. I really recommend you can spend as much as you want or as little. I would at least have some basic wireless cameras on the property that are you can pull up on your phone.
Because right now we don't know who took them.
Mm.
We don't know. And it's not a good look, because, you know, the contractor obviously had control of that vacant. So in any case, that's just an example of things that need to be thought about. I always say secure your property, notify the residents. And that's, you know, that's make sure the lights are on. And that's enough for day one. And the other thing is, the owners have probably gone through due diligence and done a lease file audit. What I often find is they really don't know what to do with that information.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back around to issues, I wish that a little more time had been spent analyzing the data from the lease files in terms of how many folks are living here that shouldn't be living here in the first place,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. So also another big discrepancy that often comes up and results in a credit at closing is the security deposits. You know, if the seller is saying they don't, they haven't taken security deposits, but each lease file reflects a $300 security deposit, that can be a substantial number, and it is a liability to the buyer. And so on their balance sheet, it's liability. So because ostensibly we would have to, we in theory need to refund all of that, correct? If everyone moved out and they fulfilled their lease and they left the apartment in good condition. So they often don't really, I would encourage them, potential buyers, to get help from someone with more knowledge than them. Kelly, or there are other companies that specialize. I think Q10 is a management company, Stephanie Graves.
Sure.
I know that they offer due diligence services. Also, Optimum Real Estate Strategies is really good. They use those, these programs that give very granular data to be able to make decisions from. So,
well, we're going to have to break it here, but I do want to ask you before we end the segment. Priscilla, you told us a little bit about how you got in the business and as far as your first day, a couple of days in the business. But Kelly, you've been doing this for a minute or two. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Gosh, you know, I feel like the apartment industry, the multifamily industry, is such a blessing to me. My family had owned restaurants and bars my whole life, and so I assumed that I would do that. I would manage a restaurant or something when I was about 22. I had just had a baby who's now 31. But anyway, I was looking for an apartment in the Galleria, and honestly, the manager had walked. The manager had walked out, and there was literally no one in the office. I know this doesn't sound believable. It's true. I was waiting in the leasing office, and I just literally started answering the phone because it wouldn't stop ringing. And finally, the owner walked in, and we started fast talking, and I got my apartment and a job at the same time.
So if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can reach me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, Guyton, G-U-Y-T-O-N, at gmail.com.
Priscilla, do you want to?
Well, they can reach me at Priscilla, P-R-I-S-C-I-L-L-A-Q, 891, at gmail.com.
Those are our personal emails, obviously, Paul.
Well, ladies, thank you so much. We could talk about this topic. I mean, there's probably a lot that we didn't get into, and maybe we'll do a follow-up show in the future on it. We'll see kind of how the economy is going and what type of activity we have in the market. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.